So as we celebrate the ascension of the Lord, we celebrate the event in which Christ ascended body and soul into the glory of heaven. The importance for this event for us is this is when Christ opened the path to heaven for us. His death on Calvary obtained forgiveness for sins. His resurrection obtained our future resurrection so that we could have glorified bodies as well. And with his ascension into heaven, our hope is that we will follow him. And if we are united with Christ as part of the church, Christ is the head, the church is his body, then we're going to follow where Christ has gone first. So our human dignity is raised up to the glory of heaven. I think it's, if we take a moment and think about the apostles, you know, they were eyewitnesses to these events, to Jesus Christ, after he had been crucified, coming back from the dead with a risen body. And then they actually saw him ascend body and soul into the glory of heaven. You know, these realities that they witnessed profoundly changed their entire view of reality. And it should change our view of reality as well. You know, Christ, before he ascends into the glory of heaven, commands the apostles to go out and baptize all nations, you know, spreading the gospel to all people. He ascends into heaven and the angels promise that he's going to return from return in glory in the same way. So how does this change the apostles' worldview and how should it change our worldview? Well, first of all, I think it makes it very clear that none of us are in this world by random chance. You know, none of us are here in this world just to serve our own purposes, just to have a nice career where we make a lot of money. None of us are here simply for to seek our own entertainment or our own pleasures. We're here to serve Jesus Christ, the King of heaven and earth, who at this very moment is seated on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And he can see every action that we do and every intention of our hearts. And our purpose in this world is to exercise our free will. It's to make a decision as to whether we are going to serve Jesus Christ or whether we're going to serve someone or something else. Plain and simple. We're given free will. This is our time here on earth to exercise our free will and determine whether we're going to serve the kingdom of God and be faithful servants of Jesus Christ and extend his kingdom as he commanded us, or whether we're going to serve our own selfish purposes. And so, you know, Christ sees everything that we do, every action, every intention in our heart. So each one of us is called to serve the kingdom of God in our own vocation. So if it's in marriage, for those who are called to marriage, you know, some people enter marriage just for their own selfish purposes because, you know, they want companionship or they want children. You know, sometimes people have their own selfish reasons for marriage. But the Christian vocation of marriage recognizes that God calls people to enter into marriage for the procreation of children and to educate their children in the faith, to fill the halls of heaven with saints. You know, as Christians, we see marriage as part of God's plan of salvation, and that a husband and wife, their mission is to assist each other on their path to heaven. And so we see a higher purpose for marriage. So for those who are married, do we enter into marriage for our own selfish purposes, or do we understand and live the reality that marriage serves a higher purpose? Same thing with a career. Do we approach a career for our own selfish purposes, just to make a good living for ourselves and so that we have money to live comfortably? Or do we recognize that that's at service to our family and to the church? And do we see our career as serving a higher purpose? You know, with the time and resources that we've been given, are we more generous to the church and to the mission of the kingdom of God? Or are we more generous with our time and resources on ourselves? In terms of our obligations to God, do we fulfill our Sunday obligation joyfully and every Sunday by coming to worship the Lord? Or do we betray Jesus Christ and put other things as being more important? Whether it's sports or a few extra minutes of sleep on a Sunday morning or whatever else we want to pursue. So As we meditate on the ascension, Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, one of the questions we can ask is, what does he see when he looks at our lives right now? As Christ looks at our lives, would he say, this is someone who is serving me faithfully and who is advancing the kingdom of God, who has chosen with his free will to serve me? Or are we people who serve ourselves or some other purpose? So this is how the apostles' worldview was changed. You know, we're not here by random chance. We're here for a purpose. And that becomes very clear when they saw Jesus Christ ascend to the glory of heaven. I think another way that the ascension changed the apostles' view of the world is with the suffering and difficulties we face in life. A lot of times people want to avoid those at all costs. People don't want to suffer. They don't want to get sick. They don't want challenges and difficulties. But often those challenges and difficulties are placed in our lives as opportunities for us to demonstrate our fidelity to Christ. I'll give an example, with the Christians in the Middle East and in North Africa who are suffering and have been for many years, very intense persecution from Muslims. From a worldly standpoint, from a human standpoint, especially when we look at all the atrocities with ISIS, it seems like a waste. Why would God allow this? The suffering that these people are going through, what a waste of their lives. You know, when we see millions and millions of refugees driven from their homelands, tens of thousands of people brutally tortured and executed. But from a Christian perspective, these challenges and difficulties are given to them to purify their faith. I saw a video a little while back about this girl. She was maybe 10 years old, and she is one of the Christians who had been driven from her homeland, and she was in a refugee camp. And someone was interviewing her, and the man asked her, "Do you hate ISIS for what they've done?" And her response was, "Why would I hate ISIS? You know, I love them, and I pray for their conversion." You know, within the heart of this 10-year-old girl, with the persecution that she had faced and all the reasons she had to respond with hate, she responded with love and with charity. You know, these persecutions were given to them as an opportunity to purify their faith, and many of them have won a martyr's crown. They have made the ultimate testimony to Jesus Christ that they love him so much that they're willing to face torture and to give their lives for him. And so, too, the struggles and challenges that we face in life are opportunities for us to prove our fidelity to Christ. Whether it's a sickness, to embrace that suffering with purity of heart from the hand of God and to offer it up as a sacrifice to our Lord. Or if we experience challenges in our marriages, those are opportunities for us to demonstrate that we are going to be faithful to the vows that we've made in good times and in bad. And so we shouldn't turn away from the challenges we face in life, but face them with courage, knowing that our Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father. And these are opportunities for us to demonstrate to him our fidelity. And so the ascension changed the apostles' entire worldview, and it should change our worldview as well. Are we living for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to fulfill the command he gave us before he ascended into heaven? And do we face the difficulties in life with courage and with fidelity? This weekend, this morning, we also celebrate Mother's Day. So I also want to throw a little thank you out to all of our mothers and grandmothers for, first of all, for the gift of life. You know, for saying yes to life. None of us would be here if our mothers did not say yes to the gift of life. And for the loving support and all the sacrifices that you've made in raising your children. So often that's work that's underappreciated or often unacknowledged. But I want to say thank you for that. And also for those mothers and grandmothers who work so hard to instill the faith in their children and grandchildren. You know, through the example that they live, through their teachings, by prayer, for their children and grandchildren, even when sometimes their children and grandchildren stray from the straight and narrow path. So, I think the greatest gift any mother can pass on to her children is the gift of faith. You know, when we think about the ascension, what mother wouldn't want her children to follow Christ into the glory of heaven? And so we thank all of our mothers for the tremendous blessing you've been to your families and to each one of us, and be assured of our prayers on this Mother's Day.